Simge. Ukuthi angiboni abantu abayiziyo. Angibonisi futhi ama-participants eneliswa like last week.
Okay, I'll
Unjani?
Khona.
Yaphi? Okay.
Ubone ukuthi kwathi.
Unjani? Yabona bengabonisa ama participants izongisokolisa njenga last week. No, it's fine. Good morning honorable members. Good morning commissioners. I don't know whether your chair and the deputy chair is there, but I can see Commissioner Tlobatla and Commissioner Botha. Those are the two commissioners that I can see. Anyway, I declare this meeting officially open. Thank you very much, honorable members, for Nangbono Mam O'Hara. Thank you very much, Mam O'Hara, for attending this meeting. Good morning, Chairperson. Morning, Mam O'Hara. I think, oh, Chair, or Chairperson, we're going to give you a mask. Morning, Chair.
Chairperson, good morning, Chair.
Yes. And thank you very much, Chairperson, for deploying Mam O'Hara and Mam Noma Sonto Mazibuko. Last week, we had a hectic week, a weekend, because we worked up until Monday. And the last day on Monday, we finished late, around 9. Around 9, half past 8 to 9. The work that we have done with them, it was a work that was supposed to have been done even before we went there to do that oversight and in that fact finding that we were doing in relation to the incident here Mkhonza and also the other lady who was being knocked by the car by one gentleman. And then the other one, then it was the other things that we discovered when we were there, whereby there were young women who were being sold for 400 rand to foreign nationals, but amapa in Mam O'Hara,
Ma Pakistan,
yeah. That issue is under investigation, and I think we'll get the report because they have already arrested some of the people there. So we'll get a full report on that one. And then the other issue that we discovered when we were there at the Pulsong Hospital is that there was one community leader who was with us, who was part of the delegation, who saw a young woman about who is 33, Espedela. And that young woman also, what we said, no, let them go and look for her address. And she was, then they got the address, and then they had to bring back the patient to the hospital after 2 days. I think Honorable Mkwema can relate that story very well, because she was the one who was following up, because we delegated each other amatas ukuthi what needs to be done. But we also visited the station yasePakane, and we raised a lot of issues with them, because when we were there, the community was able to tell us a lot of things that we're not aware of. So we met the station commander. We tabled all those things with in that meeting because many we are having councillors also from Ekurhuleni. We're having stakeholders, Abubakar Poro was part of us, and a different political party leaders were with us. Even at court, they were with us at court. And we also want to thank the lawyer that was deployed with Abomam O'Hara and Nomama Zibuko to go with us to court on last week, Monday. And we left the lawyer at the court. Oguti, then the lawyer will then tell us, Oguti, what are the developments and when is the case going to sit again. And what else can... So we have dealt with the many issues that day. So it was just unfortunate, Oguti. There was no provision for lunch. We worked until late at night. And my apologies, Shem, to your driver, Yabomam O'Hara, Utemba, who was driving Mam O'Hara and Mam Mazibuko without food. But all of us, anyway, there was not time to eat because we were concentrating on the assignment that we were dealing with. But I'm hoping now that Mam O'Hara, Mam Mazibuko, Honorable Mukweba and your lawyer will then take the issue, all the matters forward, and so that we can get to the gist of the things. But also, I think what Honorable Mukweba have reported to me is that that case, Mam O'Hara, Mam Mazibuko and Che, that young girl, Espedela, was then discussed by the doctors because Honorable Mukweba had to go back to Pulusong Hospital, and that young woman was brought back to the hospital. Apparently, the way Honorable Mukweba Begashong Akona Uti, they have suspended the nurses that were on duty that day. So we can hear any other development because I saw Honorable Mukweba again at Sakane dealing with some oversight work. Doing her oversight work in Sakane. If there's something else that she needs to share with us, she can share with us. But what the other visit that we want to do is Mthwalume, KZN, where there are many young women who are being killed. And on Saturday, the president of the Women's League, she even sent me a picture of a body that is burnt. And then a picture of a woman, of a woman that is burned. And then I had to call our whip, Honorable Masiko, to get the understanding what is it that is happening in Mthwalume. Then Honorable Masiko take me through. And then the following day, I was called by residents of Mthwalume. And the media person, I forgot, good, but it's a local media person, and the CPF person. So then they said they saw our statement of the portfolio committee in relation to all these gender-based violence incidents that has happened and we have dealt with. And then they were asking me, when are we coming to Mthwalume, because their worry is, those cases, it's like they are being taken out of the role. I don't know by whether police or by the court. And those people were crying when they were calling me yesterday. So unfortunately, I had, I couldn't tell them exactly when are we coming, because Uneli so must then make an application for us as a portfolio committee so that we can go and do our oversight day in that area and get the full story, because the way they were relating the story, they were saying, then I said to them, how are we going to deal with this issue, because it's like your areas are vast. Then that gentleman who was talking to me, he said, surprisingly, those people are not staying far from each other, those that are killed. They are staying in reachable areas. So it's easy for them to invite all of those families. So so that we can be able, as the portfolio committee, and together with the commissioners, again, Chair, who will be deployed to go with us there in KZN, to get the full story and see, and then we'll also visit the police station. Because what we have observed that day, Chairperson, is that, you know, when you deal with issues of gender-based violence and femicide, it's easier when the community is involved. And even other stakeholders are being part of the delegation. Because when they are there, you are able now to get the gist of the things that are happening in that area. And you are able to go also to the police station to deal with those issues. But the residents of Mthwalume, they are very worried that those cases, it's like they are dismissed, but also they don't know why are the cases dismissed, because they said one of the perpetrators have hanged himself in the cells. I don't know where, whether in the police station or in jail, I don't know where. And then the other one tried to commit suicide, but he didn't die. So he's still there. So there was an issue of a cell phone that they were able to trace. They say this other perpetrator is saying, no, the phone that he's having, he got it from the person who passed on. So I don't know. There's a witness of the, in this case, which the police are claiming to be something that Bona, they cannot follow up. So I feel strongly to members of the portfolio committee and to CGE also, Chairperson, that we need to follow up those cases of the KZN, because I think they are saying it's 7 or 8 women now, if I'm not mistaken. So with those few opening remarks, I declare our meeting officially open. But it's a concern, Chair, because the other incident that was reported to myself is the one yesterday, Eastern Cape, of a young lady who's 20 years old, who was studying at West University, who went home during a lockdown, and she tried to apply to West University so that she can be allowed to come back to rest at the university, but her application was declined. And within 3 days, she was killed by the boyfriend, who is also a young man by the age of 23 years old. So even that issue, we will request CGE also to make a follow-up on that issue with Vets University, and just get the whole story on what exactly happened in relation to the application that was made by the young women, because if they've granted that young woman a permission to come back to residence at the university today, I'm sure that young woman should be alive. And I think those are the few cases that were brought to my attention so far, unless other members, they have other case issues that they want to raise. But I think Honorable Mgweba can also add on the issue of Pulsong Hospital, so that we can be able to move forward and see how do we move forward. But I also, the other thing I think that we will want to do as the portfolio committee chairperson is that that program of Babu Bosa and of boys and men, last week during Women's Parliament, we saw, I think it's Soccer Justice, and somebody was presenting about men and so on. But, you know, my worry is people are talking about these programs, that they are doing these programs, but where? Why are they not visible? You know, people, you know, they present a report, those reports, they, and as the chair, watching that thing, I was asking myself, I'm here in Gauteng, and if there's any an organization that is dealing with that issue here in Gauteng, why can't I know about it? Because I'm here, I should be knowing about it. And Bamboza, that's where your issue of your program is critical to us. I saw that you were having our webinars, Bamboza, but unfortunately, I think two of your webinars, we were busy and we couldn't log in. But you see, the issue is when you go to communities, Chairperson, Mam O'Hara, Commissioner Mazibuko, and Honorable Mugwaba, they can tell you in the township. You know, communities there, they say even them, they don't see all these activities good, they are taking place where. So I became worried that if there are activities of such, why are they not publicized enough so that, you know, communities can be able to participate and we can move forward? Because this thing of us working with the community, I think that's the right way to go. Because when you deal with issues, I don't know where the promise is sandler. I'm not good to my own band. When I interbrown and move, if face I want a guy. Oh, Commissioner Mazibuko. Okay. So I think it's important, Chairperson, that with the deployment of all your commissioners in different provinces, it's important that they go and work with a community. Will be able to deal with this these issues, because I saw the will of the communities, you know, wanting to assist government and to deal with issues of gender-based violence and femicide. We have seen it. We are witness to that, and I think it's important. So, Nelisa, what we'll want, we'll want you to make an application for us to go to KZN. So that we can go, because it's many young women who have been killed in that area. Even one, it's too much. Seven, it's even worse. You know, because apparently I think the perpetrators are residing in the same area where these incidents have happened. So it's important for us to visit there. And I think, thank you very much, honorable members. I will allow Honorable Mgweba, Honorable Mam O'Hara and Honorable Mazibuko to talk on these issues, matters that I have raised now in reporting back to yourself, Chair and Deputy Chair and other commissioners in relation to the deployment. Because I think that's how we're going to work with your commissioners, Chair. Because in each and every province where we are going to go, we'll inform you and we'll expect your commissioners to be there, and because it's easier. We saw it's easier when all of us were there. But I think the other thing that we'll also want to get a report from you is in relation to Human Rights Commission in regarding the case at Mamo Umkhonsa. Oguti Bona, are they on board now? And how are they going to deal with the case or what? And also the issue of labor, because Mam Khonsa can no longer go back and work in that place where she was working. It's no longer safe for her. You have seen it, Oguti. If Bakshaya Manje, and also there were many issues in relation to labor that we discussed with her. Mam O'Hara can share with you later on. And I think even with us, Honorable Mgweba can also share with us that she have also spoken to the chair of labor, and something also is done by the Committee of Labor so that Mam Khonsa gets assistance that she deserves, because we can't allow our people to be abused in that form, physically, emotionally, and financially, and government is not assisting. So I think all of us, the fact that we went there so that we are able to talk about things that we had ourselves, We have taken the notes. We have tried to address issues that were raised one way or the other in any form. And I think we have tried our level best. So I can now hand over to Honorable Mgweba.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got a network problem. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, Chair of the CGE and all commissioners. Chair, I think you have touched everything. One, on the issue of Mama Kabonina Mkonza, that yes, I agree in your input that we are working with the two commissioners, Umamu Nomasondo Mazibuko and Umamu Uhara Tiseko, and of which they've been on the ground from the first day we visited the family of the Mkonza family. But however, Chair, on the issue of the UIF, I think it must be noted by the portfolio committee that, yes, in terms of the Labor Relations Act, Umamu Mkonza, there were deductions until 2004, and immediately when she started raising issues about their deductions from her salary, it was then stopped. That's where then the honorable commissioners must also come in. You definitely working with the labor relation, with the labor department. And then on the issue of the young girl by the from the same area, by the way, Chair, I think you have captured everything. And through my discussion after the first meeting at Pulusong with the CEO of the hospital that were not part of our meeting that Monday, I then managed to get to him, which is Dr. Mtunzi, that there's this issue that has been brought to our attention. And then the task was then, and he then entrusted the task with Dr. Lobo, the one who was representing him on the day. So through Dr. Lobo, they had many activities. Definitely the woman and the baby was then first, was examined on the first day, and I was told that they are doing well. They were examined again on the second day. But however, I'm told that by the doctor that in the unit on that day of the incident, there were five nurses allocated, but there were two in the specific ward where the patient was. And those two nurses has been sanctioned, and it's my responsibility on behalf of the portfolio committee to follow up on the sanctions and also what will be the consequence management. So then I will follow up in terms of the consequence management, because what is important is the consequence management on the two nurses. Then, Chair, I will then in my last input propose to honourable members that we must do more of the oversight activities, because there are a lot of scary things happening on the ground that affects our ordinary citizens and ordinary voters on a day-to-day, more than the boardroom meetings, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mgweba. Ma'am O'Hara? Thank you, Chairperson. Pindeng imbulise nonke futhi. Good morning, nonke. Chairperson, you covered the visits, but let me say that we went to the three places. First of all, it was Umam Nokabonina Mkonza, and we will be following up. I won't go into detail with that, but just to say what are the next steps. Is that okay, Chairperson? Noganye?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yeah. Yes, Chairperson. Then about Ubushilo. Briefly, we all know the case of Umam Mkonza. So we went there as the CGE, and we went with our attorney, who was actually very good because we were not able to go into the court, but he stayed in court and was able to, even after court, left with Upopi. Upopi is Ms. Mkonza's daughter, to the house so that he could take the case on behalf of the CTE. So we already have got that information. He informed us that bail was granted to the abuser, the man who attacked, the father of the boy who attacked Mam Konza, for 500 rand. I questioned her, why 500 rand? Is it not so small? But then he explained technicalities, which I'm not very smart about, but explained technicalities that kind of case and being a first offender, the bail for that is 500 rands. But the case has been moved from Springs. It will go and sit in Pretoria, and that will be on the 8th. And the idea of moving it from Springs, which is a magistrate court, it's been moved to a higher one, which is actually, I think it's got something to do about the nature of the case, because this was actually violence against a woman. So the case will be sitting on the 8th in Pretoria. We will have to go there as the commission. Of course, the two dedicated commissioners will be on top of the case until the case is finished. Now, the other part, Chairperson, both members of the portfolio committee and members of the commission, the other thing is that Umam Konza herself, she was fixing her house, preparing for pension, what. Now, this has actually gravely affected her own vision about the quality of life that she wanted. And she was working hard for that. Now, it means that Rona, as Chairperson has said, we have to look at those labor issues, in particular, the matter of the UIF. We'll deal, I think we'll have to interact, obviously, with the commission. I don't know if it's the same commission, but anyway, through the Department of Labor, they have those structures, and we'll follow up with the UIF department on that matter, because obviously there is an unfair labor practice, because the deductions were being made until she started to be a cheeky kafir, and then they decided what they are stopping. It was punishment. So I hope it can be resolved. She must not be punished for the actions of the boss. So I think this case is going to have quite a number of dimensions, including the fact that this boy who attacked her was actually racially motivated. Yes, he was drunk or whatever, but he was fundamentally racially motivated. That is why. So that's why I'm saying it's got a number of dimensions. And Chairperson Matebula has indicated the importance of collaborating with the Human Rights Commission on this matter because of that angle. And then she had a lot of mishaps because Polisong did not treat her well when she was ill. We made the follow-up at Polisong, and I won't go into detail of that. They said two things happened. The immediate a searching of Mom Konza, and helping her, treating her, giving her hospital care. But we are not leaving it there. We need to know exactly what happened. And the team there indicated that they requested for it. They need to do an investigation. The good thing is that we are expecting the report in 2 weeks' time. And Commissioner Mazibuko and myself will actually visit the hospital in 2 weeks' time. And I think we will extend the boundary a bit to actually look at all of those things, because now another question that should worry us as the CTE is that why did the nurses not help Mom Konza? And then even while we are there, there is a case of a child who gives birth to a baby, a young woman who gives birth to a baby. Now, there are consequences, yes, but fundamentally, we want to know, Corey, what is the culture in the hospital, the nurses, what to be eating now. Yeah, but so when we discuss our visit, it will actually be a planned visit so that we actually address fundamental issues. Lisa Corey, but what treat you are young, is what to be there, is the care, because when we are talking in the board, chairpersons and colleagues, when we are talking in the board and listening, they talk about their culture, patient care, and all of that. But the real question that we must do, we must ask when we go there is, do the nurses know that? What does it mean to them? Does the patient feel the care? Why did that woman give birth in the manner in which she did? And why was Mom Konza not given the assistance? So we actually have to look at all of those things. The same we will do when we go to the police station, Sakane police station, because when we went there, again, Sishawe Yikwif, there was no help, there was no immediate help. The setting there is not user-friendly. You can imagine a woman coming in there being raped, having been raped, or being violated by a husband or what have you. And there was actually somebody making a joke about rape in the presence of the police. That tells you something about the culture there. And that tells you something about Hore Mapodisa Amole Anakanaya. We were there because of the case of the woman who was run down Kavom by a man. And the police were there in full view, and they did nothing. And we go to the police station, we find very casual policemen, even the babysitting where they for reporting cases. It's just nobody really even cares for you. So we will be going there in the next 2 weeks. We had a good meeting with the station commander. And they said that we must come back in 2 weeks. Chairperson, we raised a number of things on about what we are not happy about in the police station. So we'll be having a meeting again in the next 2 weeks where we are looking at their report and actually saying what are the things. In fact, Chairperson, the good thing is that we were looking, Minister Bekicele, and in our own webinar, there was a presentation by the police about the integrated, I don't know what they call that plan, where they outlined the key things that must be in place for a good environment for women to address issues of gender-based violence and femicide. So we will actually use that as a framework to tick off what happened. In fact, already Commissioner Mazibuko raised the issue. Let me not even go there because I think she'll talk about it. Can I pause there, Chairperson, if it's okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ma'am O'Hara. Thank you very much. Commissioner Mazibuko?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, everybody. can I say that we are going to be losing some of our people because load shedding in our area might happen anytime from here. So, Chair, I'll just be informed that you might lose us. Thank you very much. Most of the things that has been reported are exactly what happened, and it is unfortunate that most of the things that happened Eguruleni in Tsakane were during Women's Month. We had to wake up and deal with those issues. And the highlight that I would like to put through about the Tsakane police station, the captain in charge on the Saturday that we went to the police station was very casual. Chairperson of the portfolio committee really knows that he was drunk during his duty. So he will have put that across, and he just didn't want to listen to us. And it is exactly what we got, that women are not taken seriously at Tsakane police station. So we have written our report with Mama O'Hara. We are preparing points to go back, and we will be going back there with the portfolio committee, Umam Mkweba, because now we have to go together and work those issues. Tsakane is under very, very difficult situation. The community is very, very, very angry. So it is very urgent that we go there. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be there. We have already given our report to the chairperson of the commission. We're preparing with our team, as we will not be going back only as commissioners. Our provincial manager and our education officer and our legal officer will be accompanying us to Tsakane. Chair, it is unfortunate that I'm deployed in these two provinces, which is Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. I have already put plans in place, asked for permission to be going to KwaZulu-Natal with my colleague, Umamutlo Ntuli Tlobatla. We are planning there. So we will share our dates with the portfolio committee, but maybe you'll find us there, or maybe we'll be together there. The issue of Mthwalume is a very sensitive case, and it is unfortunate that we have not been hands-on as the commission, but we are already having our plans. What is very sensitive is that we are not visible, as we are saying, Chair. Some of the webinars we were doing, we did not share with the commission, with the portfolio committee. We will share. Yesterday, we had a webinar on issues of blind and partially sighted women. We have found that the women who are partially sighted, there is no even the room that is prepared to take issues of rape. Even at Tsakane, we don't know whether the test kids are there. So really, COVID has seen our people into a very devastating situation, and it gives us the pleasure to say we have to be running. So everything that has been reported by my colleagues, the portfolio committee and Mam Ora, it's exactly what happened. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. In fact, you are
Can I kindly take a bite on the Mthwalume matter?
You will. Want Honorable Mazibuko is reminding me, women who are partially blind issues, kuthi ngifuna ukubuza bona aqala abantu bay commission kuthi yena sebamnikezile u secretary or PA whatever needs zakhe bona ngokwabo bona sithi seba attend addressile into zakhe uthe mhlambe makakhuluma ke uzo respond to that ngingakayikhohle. Come in, Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to your good self, the Honorable Members, the Commissioners, and the Parliamentary officials. Honorable Chairperson, I think what is important from the discussions that we are getting here is the responsibility and the role of police in terms of ensuring that the perpetrators are brought to book. I just want to, and we'll probably also be advised by the commissioners at a later stage, Chairperson, the correct terming of the crimes that that are committed against women. I know that in Umthwalume we are saying that there is a serial killer in isiZulu, but normal catch that is killing women. But I think, Chairperson, when we are talking about this, we really need to correctly place it where it is. There are women that are being killed, and there are body parts that are being taken from all these women, which then says that women are being killed in Umthwalume for multi-killing. For me, it speaks to the fact that there is a supplier and there is a person that is a buying. For instance, there's one that has commissioned for the killing of these women so that they can be able to buy those body parts. Mm. The death of the perpetrator, Chairperson, as well as, because now there are also reports that we are getting that the second one is also died because of poisoning, which means that there's a syndicate at play and police are just looking at the smoke screen, because now they are saying that because the two have been alleged to be killed, of which the first one, they are saying that they can't even point at the grave of where this man is lying. No one has seen him. So, Chairperson, I think we need to dig deeper at these things. And when we are talking about these cases, we must talk about this syndicate that is at play, that is ordering body parts from women, and women are being killed for the supply of body parts for the multi industry. That's where we should be locating it, and we should be bringing in the necessary stakeholders in this, the traditional, and police must broaden their scope and not only say that it's a serial killer that is at play, there's a Malgaju, and now he's dead, and now the case is ending. There are women who have died, there are families that want justice for the death of these women. And for merely saying that the perpetrator hanged himself in a shower, a stock scene, for me, it really doesn't bring that comfort to families and loved ones of the women that have been killed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. In fact, you reminded me about that, but I didn't want to talk about it because I wanted us to go there and get all those things when we were there, all of us. In fact, the people from Umthwalume who called me yesterday and Sunday, they told me all those things, that all the women who are killed, they don't have... Some body parts are taken, and then even the manner in which they say that person has hanged himself, when they check the things that person used to hang himself, it leaves us with questions. So they've told me all those things. So that's why honorable members and commissioners, chair and deputy chair, I think even that case we'll have to request that case must be moved from where it is now and be taken to a higher court because there's a lot that is happening. You know, when I was listening to the guys who called me yesterday and Sunday, I was so scared. In fact, Honorable Masiko, I didn't even want you to talk about it because I was also scared for your safety. And Mam Kawula, because you are members of you are from KZN, so I don't even know whether those people are watching or whatever. So, but it's something that I was informed by the people who called me. So, my intention was that if we can go this weekend, whether Friday, I don't know. Nelly Swaguti application, Mawienza Namusa, House Chair. Chairperson, if Nkuluma naye uzos granta, but if I was granted, that means we'll have to use our own tickets because I think that one also is agent. Even that one, Mam Ohara and Commissioner Mazimbugo and Honorable Mkweba, if you remember, it's us who reported to the station commander and the other gentleman who was there who said, no, we don't feel comfortable about it as the investigating officer that is deployed, assigned to deal with the case. The manner in which we observed him and the manner in which he does things, we feel uncomfortable. And you can see with this case is a penalty, Moyin. So I think this one also, yes, Mtualume, we need to do the same thing. I'm not sure when are you going, but my intention that I was it was that we should go this week, this weekend, Friday, but able to just go there and get exactly what is happening. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think CGE is also owing us a report, a case, yes, in Northern Cape, of an old woman now who is threatened to that her house will be attached by the sheriff and so on. That's another case that you haven't finalized. So we need a report on that one. And to tell us, Kuti, what is the immediate step that we have done in terms of ensuring that you protect that old woman, which nae anga tola tala strating in dia ke se value se itatiwe nge case ni nakdala na banai. Thank you very much, honourable members. Chair, I think we have agreed, me and you. The chairperson calls me, honourable members, that the first quarter report is not ready yet. They are going to present the fourth quarter report, and I also communicated with the staff, and we have agreed with the chair that they must also make sure that they prepare the report this week so that in terms of national treasury regulations and reporting, they must not be found like they did not report. So I'm hoping, Chair, your institution is preparing that report, because once they don't, it's not submitted on time, it will reflect bad on ECGE. Ne? So today, but you are going to present your fourth quarter report. Thank you very much, honorable members, and for allowing us to give you the report, the work that has been done by commissioners. That's why it's important that when we say commissioners report to parliament, we mean like this, which you report to parliament, you must tell us what is it that you are doing. But thank you very much, Chair and Deputy Chair, for the deployment of your commissioners. And I'm so sorry that I kept them working up until late. Oh, Mam O'Hara, my apologies. It was not meant to harass you or to ill-treat you. No, nani bonela ma circumstances. My apologies for that. Notemba ningqolisele ukuthi angasatholi nelunch. I'm so sorry, Chair. Hopefully next time when they are deployed, Chair, you'll give them provision.
Honorable Chair, I don't know if you can see my hand, if you would allow me.
Okay, but we must finish at 12.
I'll be very concise, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Deputy Chair, and Honor, Commissioner Tlobatla.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to all Commissioners and other colleagues who are online. Chairperson, I want to make a recommendation. Chairperson, I think what we need to do is have a systemic way where you just alert us of cases that you want us to be aware of so that we can act on the recommendations. Can we create a process and separate the portfolio committee from deployment? I don't want us to be in a situation where we are being deployed by the portfolio committee. We need to maintain the independence of the institution. I want to make a recommendation that through Neliswa, where there are cases, the appropriate portfolio committee members just literally channel, even directly to us, the cases. However, we then internally have a process of how the commissioners are then deployed, or officials of the CGE, so that we are not seen as being deployed by the portfolio committee.
in the event that it would look like there's no separation between the state and also the Chapter 9. So I would want to make that recommendation that we have a system whereby simply you alert us of urgent cases, we expedite, but also to give the portfolio committee feedback so that you know something is being done. But I would want us to move away from a process whereby the portfolio committee is now enabling a situation where they're telling us and directing us which direction we should be going as a commission. I think let's try to separate the two institutions. Let's try to separate the powers of the portfolio committee from the Chapter 9 mandate. I just wanted to make that input. But I think let's create a process where commissioners and members can be alerted of cases through Nelly Nobatan, and then we get those. Either she sends the office of the CEO or she sends to the chairperson's office, but she has a line of communication in that way. Thank you. Thank you, members. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chair. That's very progressive. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to take a short bite on the cases that we were discussing earlier. With the cases of Kaboni Nkonza, for me, I see this one as a landmark case where, as a collective, we can make an impact on it. Commissioner O'Hara, when they gave the report, it was excellent and informative. They also mentioned that there is an element of race in the in that activity. So we know already there's the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa has been tampered with by this guy. There is also the issue of gender. There is also the issue of labor. So which means this guy has broken the Constitution, the Gender-Based Violence Act, and the Labor Relations Act. And there can be more if our experts can do more in the study in analyzing this particular case. So it is a landmark case. We need to take advantage of it and make an impact. One last sentence. My worry with the activities that are happening in Gauteng, especially from the side of the public servants, it worries me because we have policies they need to implement. And second, we have dedicated people that have guidelines, and what they need to do is very clear within their area of operation. They just decide not to do it. We need to take a very strict decision on how we deal with these particular issues, because more women are going to suffer if people decide to be in dedicated positions, being paid for their job, yet they are doing nothing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tlobatla. Thank you very much. I'm sure an Honorable Chair and Deputy Chair, with the one Yasem Twalume, you can start with it. It's fine. Tina, but we will be going on over this weekend. Over to you, Chair.
Chairperson, a minute.
Okay.
Good morning. Ma. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ma.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair.
Ma. Ngifisa nje ukuzwakalisa ubuhlungu bami ngo-radio Ukhozi. Bengilalele Ukhozi during this week. Ukhozi ngesonto, Monday ekuseni on Sunday, ba-interviewa umuntu wesifazane owahlukunyezwa indoda, imshaya, imgenxa, imhambisa enqunu, waze wayi-organizela abantu ukuthi bayidubule, naye ethi uyayiphephisa. Waboshwa-ke for 15 years, waphuma ngo-7 and a half years. Kodwa manje kungiphathe kabi ukuthi bamletha ku-public ukuthi azosho lokho. Usephumile, akakayi ngisho emndenini, akakayi ngisho ey'nganeni zakhe. Kenza ukuba u-MEC uNtuli amthathe mhlawumbe ayomhlanganisa nomndeni, kodwa umlethe kwi-public ukuba azokhuluma as if yena yedwa wenza into erongi. Abesilisa babulala abantu besifazane, akwenziwa lutho ngabo. Ngiphatheke kabi, ngifuna ukukusherisha lokhu. Bekwenzeka ngesonto KZN, kwenziwa uminister uBheki. cell. I'm sorry, be intuli. Interviewer manje lomuntu wesifazane kufanele azenze yonke ukuthi kwenzakalani kumsuse eqaleni esakhulelwe shawa neingane egencwa kodwa egcineni waboshwa ke nesembulele uselethwa ke manje kwi-public.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, ngiyabonga ma. Ngiyayiva. Okay, ngisadigesta ingqondo yalento lento qedwe uyisho khona manje. No, it's okay, we can give the chair in the meantime to present the fourth quarter report for CGE.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair.
Ubani ukhuluma?
Umam Sondi.
Oh, okay. Okay, Mam Sondi.
Yeah. Sorry, before Sininka Uche, I present. Kiyabakala kahle?
Yeah, siyakuf. Mina ngiyabuzo manje. Eh.
All right. Chairperson, ngiyajabula ma. Andazi ngumama ubatla na. Ma ekhuluma ngokuthi these things ezenzekayo, we must write the letters, ne? For these cases and then send to Neliswa, our secretary. Right, ukhuluma iqiniso because the chair, there are a lot of these things. So ndiyajabula ke ngokuba sinikwa that platform ukuthi senze kanjalo ne. Ziningi kakhulu lezi zinto ngatshona ilanga sizikhuluma. But okusalayo ndithanda ukuthi sizikhulume nje sibalisa ubuhlungu and then kungabikho action. Okubalulekileyo ukuthi zonke lezi zinto masibaliswa kanje zonke nezomthwalume ntontoni, I'm listening all the time. But ifanele kuziwe ne-solution to solve these things. So sizokwenza ngamandla wonke ke Chairperson. Kamnandi mina uyandazi ukuthi ngihlala endaweni enjani. I'm staying in a bad place.
A lot the area where I'm staying in.
Abantu abomama ezenziwa ngabantu besilisa. So kuyafuneka sizame ke ukubana sizihlanganise but kube khona i-action.
We need to collect them, but we should take action. We should not just speak about them.
Did you man highlight and delay on that?
And I thought I should just highlight that.
Thank you very much, Mam Sondi. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. Angazi noma ngezwakala yini.
Yazwakala, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning and greetings to honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Chief Whip, the Whip. Ngiyabingelela kini nabonke ama honorable members, our corner and commissioners, fellow commissioners, good morning. Sibonga ithuba sizovela to present our fourth quarter report. But before we do that, Chair, I was listening very carefully on all the presentations this morning and in your opening remarks, Chair, and our fellow colleagues. I just want to say that, yes, all of what we have communicated, we will take them. And make sure that we do the second visit kulama police station ekukhulunywe ngawe, especially indaba ka Mama Mkhonza ibe buhlungu kakhulu and I have received a report from Mama Ohara and Mama Zibuko, and we are saying that they need to go back, Chair, and really go there and monitor for impact, because the attitude, the situation amanesi nasema police station is appalling. And sometimes you really wonder what has happened, whether we are regressed as a country in terms of our service providers providing services to ordinary citizens bale country. So we are saying that when they go back, they must go back with a set of questionnaire or mhlambi with a set of things as is was born with a here if police station see fike injengoba ya injalo ngesikhathi ningena kuyona honorable chair nani nayibona ukuthi beyi police station enjani and the attitude yamaphoyisa ne attitude yamanesi uma kukuthi injalo we need to go back and not only just go and do something but we need to make sure that when we come out with a program that will be followed up by a CGE in terms of making sure ukuthi ama situations ama police stations clinics and hospitals they improve in terms of looking and handling issues of gender based violence and women who come and report on gender based violence issues lento le nkulumo ngikhumbuza what we have done as CGE we went few years ago when I want to say 3-4 years ago we went in to look at the status of police stations in the country and we came out with a report that says fighting fire without fire. There are a lot of recommendations in there that are saying that amaphoyisa need to be trained ukwenzela ukuthi akwazi ukuhandla
so
need to make sure that we revisit some of our recommendations, including a recommendation eyenziwa constitution justice constitutional justice la ebesho khona naye ukuthi we need to make sure that our police force is trained on how to handle these cases. So issue asemthwalume honorable chair, I want to say that the office in KwaZulu-Natal has already intervened and they have gone in and they have gone in to collect some of the information and you are quite the information that you have is the information that I have as well ukuthi ngempela ngempela laphayana akubulawa nje for the sake of killing women but there is killing for muti as well. So already we are sitting down with Commissioner Mazibuko and Commissioner Tuli Tobata, who will be deployed to the province. In fact, bokufanele ngabe baye namhlanje, Chair. Bebezohlala
today.
So, but we have decided that we need to plan this properly, and I think perhaps we can have meeting with your secretariat, Nobatana, in terms of saying, when do you really think you can get clearance from your side so that maybe if we can align. And what the deputy chair is saying is quite true. I think that's going to be the process moving forward. But Mthwalume bona siyaya as commissioners deployed in the
we are going to
follow the very same route that was followed in terms of following the Gauteng case. Commissioners will also be going to police stations and look at particular situations and how the police stations have reacted, including members of the South Africa of the police force, in responding to these cases in KwaZulu-Natal. Chair, without wasting a lot of time, let me first and foremost apologies on behalf of my two colleagues. Commissioner Sidiko Rakolote could not join us this morning because of work commitments. The second commissioner who is struggling with the network connection is Commissioner Sipanya Mukhale. She said that she will probably join us late. She is still struggling with connection, so she might join us late, Chair. But beyond that, I don't have any other apologies. We are all here. There are no other apologies, Chair. Chair and honorable member, with your permission, we'll switch off the video and go to my presentation very quickly.
Okay.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, we've been requested to come and present our fourth quarter report, which covers the period January to March 2020. Kusuke kuphela unyaka we previous financial year. So we are presenting this. Thank you very much, Chair, for allowing us to go back, prepare, take to plenary the report of the first quarter, and we will get dates from you. And then we will come and report. Chairperson, my report is very brief, but I think I will actually be speaking to individual interventions by commissioners at a later stage. I'm not going to waste time talking about our mandate. I'm not going to waste your time talking about the overall goal of the commissioners, why we are there, because we are there in terms of making sure that we establish good governance and ensuring that the organization operates effectively and efficiently. Those are the objectives of the commissioners. I'm not going to go through all of them. And there are roles of commissioners, just to clarify where our roles lie. Honorable Chair, we are actually presenting e-progress and interventions of commissioners in line with the CGE's five-year strategic plan, as well as the annual performance plan, yeah, last year, 2018-2019. And we have, in the strategic plan, we have four strategic objectives, which we are going to actually be presenting against those four strategic objectives. The first objective, Chair, being the advancement of an enabling environment, a legislative environment for achieving gender equality. And the interventions here, Chair, clumped or put together.
You are presenting the one of
2019-2020, Chair, yes.
Okay.
Fourth quarter 2019-2020. Apologies there.
Okay.
Overall, Chair, what we did during this quarter was to, as the Commission for Gender Equality under this strategic objective one, we were able to hold consultative forums towards the submission of our land rights paper. In this particular one, Chair, I was able to deploy Commissioner Boda as well as Commissioner Busisiwe Dei, who both went up to a community in Limpopo, eyake yasubmitha a complaint to the Commission for Gender Equality, like the one that we have in the Northern KwaZulu-Natal. So we had groups of women who submitted a complaint about the land that was taken away from them. So I think in the beginning of the year...
Your presentation has stopped showing. Chairperson Matebula, your presentation is not showing on the... Can you just continue to share screen? I think something's happened. I just want to alert you because we can't see it.
Okay. Nelly Swa? Miss Robertana Ogro? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Chair, thank you very much, Deputy Chair. Chairperson, I was talking about the consultations that were held in one of the community in the northern part of Limpopo, which was consulted just before we made our submission to a portfolio committee, and this submission was on the land rights paper. And that portfolio committee was the portfolio committee on the land and rural development and land restitution, something like that. But we presented this, Chair, but we wanted our submission to actually be informed by some of the submissions, as is taller from the ground. And we went to this particular community in the northern Limpopo, and we got rich information there, which we consolidated, and we made our inputs based on that information. We pretty much wanted to go to KwaZulu-Natal, and I know in KwaZulu-Natal we also have a community there that has issues of land. But because we did not have enough resources as well as enough time to make consultations in all these areas, so we actually went to the northern part of Limpopo and our submission was made on that. I will talk to individual commissioner role here, Chair, in terms of, you know, what Commissioner Day did up there. The second one, Chair, was the submission on the Recognition of Customary Marriage Act. And we did this submission, Chair, to a portfolio committee on justice and constitutional development. And we did this submission because we thought that it will actually provide for the registration of customary marriages. And I will also talk about what Commissioner Sipanya Mogale is actually doing on this particular one, just to make sure that there is a program or a project that looks at a way forward on how, beyond the submission, how as CGE we are looking at issues of customary marriages. The second one, Chair, is that we did make a presentation on our second and third quarter report on 3rd of March to this particular portfolio committee, and this falls squarely under objective number one. Another thing that we did, Chair, was to make sure that we monitor the transformation of the TVET colleges. These are the four institutions that we investigated, and we called them for a hearings last year. So beginning of this year, we had to make some follow-up recommendations with these institutions on the state of transformation in these institutions. And there were some things that we needed to monitor with these institutions, Chair. Another area where we actually worked closely was to finalize the investigative hearings and transformation hearings in the public and private sector. Chair, last year, towards end of the year, we spent the whole of October, November, December, Senzama public investigative hearings with big and small private sector companies. If I may, and I don't want to take too much of your time, Sasbize Abo Pick and Pay, Sasbize, you know, other small organizations. And those are some of the companies that we called a chair to come and appear before us to actually account on the transformation that they are, gender transformation that they are looking at in companies. But we also called quite a number of government departments to come and appear before us so that we can look at EE hearings and also look at the state of shelters, particularly with the Department of Social Development, as well as provincial departments that were called in to come and account. I'm just mentioning few amongst many departments, but I think with departments as well, I think we called COCTA, we called National Treasury. There were quite a lot of them, Chair. And so, and again, I think it was quite a lot of work that was done looking at both public as well as private sector institutions as well. We also monitored compliance with international agreements. I think this is continuous work that is being done. But I also just want to mention here, Chair, that we sent a delegation to go and attend a preliminary meeting on Human Rights Commission so that we can deposit our CGE report to that pre-working group on CEDAW. And I know that the meeting was now planned for the month of October for the actual CEDAW meeting, but I think we did our own report as CGE, and there will be a country report that will be presented at this CEDAW meeting scheduled for the month of October. Chair, I know that your bags were ready and everybody else's bags were ready to go to CSW, but unfortunately, one area that all of us, we could not go. And I'm sorry about that, Chair, that the CSW was postponed due to COVID-19. Chair. So this particular one, I think we had some reports. We also prepared some of our projects that we were going to present there. Usually CGE working closely with Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, as well as DECO and other stakeholders and civil society organizations. This is the time when we usually come around, prepare reports, look at things, co-present there. So usually, and I must say that South Africa last year actually took the cup. So we also were so prepared, and I'm sorry that we could not attend, Chair.
South Africa,
I know, Chair, yes. The strategic objective number two, that is basically looking at promotion and protection of gender equality through public awareness, education, investigations, as well as litigation. There is a lot of work that we did here also, Chair, as the Commission, in terms of working closely with Secretariat as well, where we usually go out with the education officers. We also go out with legal officers And we do quite a lot of legal and outreach. We call them legal clinics as well as outreach activities where commissioners will actually lead the delegation, Yaka CGE. But we sometimes go out doing these outreach activities with other chapter 9 institutions. For an example, as I was deployed in Limpopo, I remember the Commissioner Botha. What we would do, we would go together with Human Rights Commission and other chapter 9 institutions, and then we will do a joint outreach program. And sometimes we will also do round table discussions where we will invite stakeholders, and or sometimes we call them stakeholder engagement. And commissioners become key here because they do presentations, they present on our mandates, they present on they outline the investigative hearings that we have had, including the findings, so that the public is aware of the work that we do. Lo msebenzi ke chairperson and honorable members, umsebenzi esiwukhiphela ngaphandle, yiwona umsebenzi esiwuthathayo siyothatha ama community getting out
offices with very hard outreach.
Esaziyo ukuthi ngeke bakwazi ukufinyelela kithina, so siwukhipha lo msebenzi ngomsebenzi wokuthi sisenze lama outreach programs and activities to especially rural communities as well as informal settlements. And we do quite a lot here, Che, and I think our interventions are greatly appreciated. Che, as you know, we do quite a lot of media interviews on radio, on television. This is also another way of educating the public, and we rotate between commissioners. A lot of the commissioners will also be deployed as staff members to go and educate members on these platforms. Chair, as well as another way of actually sharing our information, we have written as well as submitted articles by commissioners that are sent out through the newspapers, and or we put them in our websites internally so that we can educate the public and we can educate one another through the written submissions. But some of those submissions, Chair, we are making sure that the submissions are also translated into projects. If the submission is about teenage pregnancy, for an example, as written by Commissioner O'Hara, it's something that we also just want to look at a project that can actually translate into SRHR issues, addressing teenage pregnancies, addressing absent fathers, looking at the situation in schools. That was just an example amongst many papers. Chair, we participate quite a lot in SALGA, in provincial structures like SALGA Women's, in SALGA Women's commissions, as well as provincial women's caucus. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. Is SALGA Women's Commission. So in various provinces where we are deployed, Chair, CSIMENYWE, we get invited, and when we are invited, this is where we actually share quite a lot with these structures in terms of the mandate, the work of CGE, but more so, I think there was quite a lot that we had to share during this quarter around the state of municipalities and the work that we have done in those municipalities, umasenza lento esiyibiza ngokuthi gender mainstreaming, using the SDG, especially goal number 5. So that's the work that we have been doing for the past year and a half. And commissioners have actually been able to take this information out and working with SALGA in those municipalities. And I think our work is quite appreciated in all 9 provinces, Che. And I think this work is further communicated through the invites that we are getting from the NCOP, a deputy chair who is going around in all 9 provinces with the review of the Women's Charter of 1994. This is also where we actually get out and communicate the work that we have been doing in those SALGA municipalities. Chair, we participate in the legal clinics and outreach programs. I've talked about this. I'm not going to repeat it. But the third strategic objective, Chair, is the objective that really talks about the work around, is the strategic objective on how we look at, programs and programmatic interventions or issues that begin to undermine the attainment of gender equality. Here, Chair, as a collective, the work that we have done in terms of monitoring those issues that undermine, we did launch the forced sterilization or the coerced sterilization of women living with HIV and AIDS in South Africa. And in this particular one, Chair, I'm not going to go into detail. I'm going to ask Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng, who is the expert in SRHR issues as well as expert in health, who is going to articulate and give feedback on where things are at with regards to this. But this launch was done in February this year, and there have been some, interventions as well as some developments in as far as the sterilization of women living with HIV is concerned. So I think at the end of my presentation, I will ask Dr. Tlaleng to come in and just talk about SRHR issues that we've even been observing during COVID, but also talk specifically around the forced or coerced sterilization report. Chair, we also had a sitting session on the 1994 Women's Charter Review. Commissioners in all nine provinces are deployed to actually make presentations on the work that we have done. And I must also say that yesterday I was sending an invite. I think these rounds are starting in Limpopo, and Commissioner Botha is actually ready to actually present our work in the Limpopo consultations around the review of the 1994 Women's Charter. We are also engaging the Human Rights Commission on the water crisis issue. And I know that there were specific areas, Chair, where we experienced water crisis, but we usually work together with the Human Rights Commission on certain issues that are directly affecting women. And I know that in areas like Gwagwa, Utolo in the Eastern Cape, and Limpopo, and other areas, Chair, of KwaZulu-Natal, kunezindawo lapho sibonile khona ukuthi amanzi awafinyeleli. And we are working with Human Rights, engaging particular departments around these, especially Department of Water Sanitation. And these are some of the interventions that we do at provincial level, but also at national level. Chair, we also work together with the Human Rights Commission on the issue of Caster Semenya and the discrimination that she has suffered. I think this one I will be able to elaborate on the individual commissioner report. And also we have signed an MOU with the Human Rights Commission, which is why it's easy for us now to work together, even on the issue Kamama in the West Rand, in the East Rand. We are working, take a phone and you call them and we see how we can work together because we have an MOU. Chair, Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng is going to talk about the sexual and reproductive health rights issues. I'm not going to dwell on this one. But on the last strategic objective, Chair, which is inward looking, this particular strategic objective is about the CGE as an organization. It's about building the capacity of the organization CGE. And there are certain things that we are doing in terms of making sure that we strengthen the capacity of the institution from a good governance perspective. The first thing that we did during this quarter, Chair, was to revise all our terms of references for the subcommittees. We have about 7 subcommittees that usually sit every quarter before plenary, and we then decided that we need to actually step to make sure that there is a common template for all 9 subcommittees that we have within CGE. So we have done that, and these terms of reference have been signed by all committee chairpersons who are members of the commission as well. We are drafting or we have drafted and consolidated the commissioner's handbook. This to us, Chair, is our policy as the commissioners. It's our policy to guide us, Chair, because we feel that we need some kind of a policy within the institution. So it has always been a draft, and we have actually decided that we will review this draft. We have done quite a lot of consultation, consulting the commissioners, getting inputs, and we are in the process of finalizing this document, Chair. And I hope in the next plenary we will be able to approve the final commissioner's handbook. And I'm not going to take too much time there. So it's still a draft, Chair, but it's being finalized. Chair, beginning of the year, I think it was around 23, 24 of February, 24, 25, 26. I think it was a four-day good governance training for commissioners. We consulted IODSA, which is an institution that is responsible for training the boards or the boards of companies. And we felt that as the commission, we will benefit from such training so that we are aware of our fiduciary functions and we are able to implement our fiduciary functions informed by this kind of training. So commissioners, all of us were subjected to this training, which took 4 days. And I must say that, Chairperson, we came out sesingabanye abantu abasha, we came out quite motivated to do more and do better for the institution. Chair, we had our third quarter plenary session or meeting in February the 27th and 28th, and we tabled quite a lot of plenary resolutions there, Chair. Chair, without waste of time, and I know that I don't have time, but I will just rush through the each individual commissioner's interventions during this time. I'm going to put off the presentation and just go through this very quickly, Chair. I will start with Commissioner Dei. Commissioner Dei used the period between January and March doing quite a lot of research and developing papers. Besides facilitating at the CGE Women's Land Reform in the northern part of Limpopo, she came back, she wrote a paper on what the findings were there. So she developed a draft paper commenting on the legislative impacts of the the Section 25 Amendment Bill. So I think from the gender perspective, she is the one, together with Commissioner Border, who came back and wrote a paper that actually informed us moving forward. But besides this, Chair, she developed quite a number of papers providing structural and systemic analysis of the land redistribution to women. She developed quite a lot on the brief paper on various dimensions of disability for better understanding within CGE. She drafted a paper on a position paper on LGBTI persons in shelters, and I think this was also informed by the shelter consultations and hearings that took place last year. Commissioner Dei was quite a key in terms of following up a case in the Western Cape where there was a police brutality and death of a lesbian sex worker who died in police custody, and this was based in one of the Western Cape police stations. So she is the one who was deployed to follow this one up. Besides that, Chair, I think Commissioner Dei also facilitated or attended workshops. She also wrote legal opinions and submissions on the Chapter 9 rules of removal of office bearers. She is the one that actually assisted us in writing from the gender perspective, as well as Commissioner Mogale, using the legal perspective and expertise. Commissioner Dehi has been quite relevant in terms of the research that she did and drafting the draft amendment bill that sought to look at linkages between CGE as well as the international community of jurists. And she also wrote another one that was looking at the Institution for Justice and Reconciliation. She also did or took quite a lot of radio interviews and attended plenaries as well as oversight committees. Chair Commissioner Ngoma Diseko participated in roundtable discussions on the capacity of Gauteng Community Safety Department that is responsible for overseeing the performance and law enforcement agencies in Gauteng. Commissioner Diseko as well as Commissioner Mazibuko were quite key in terms of attending these. And I think the chairperson also attended a session on the last day. Commissioner Ngoma Diseko and Commissioner Mazibuko, based in Gauteng, attended the State of the Province Address, which also looked at the, because I think they went there to just identify what the government's interventions and agenda were for 2020 in terms of identifying gender issues as well as areas of collaboration. Umama Ngoma did a lot of research and on opinion papers on gender and language, and I think that paper should be coming out soon. A paper that is looking at teenage pregnancies. She attended a launch on forced sterilization and she was moderating and did closing remarks. She participated in the review of the Commissioner's Handbook. I think Commissioner O'Hara Ngoma Diseko, Commissioner Mazibuko, who are in the office in Bramfontein, ibona basetshenziswa kakhulu by the chair as the sounding board, because I think when we did the review, when we did the review of the handbook, they were the ones who we sat down with in terms of translating all the input from commissioners and putting it down into a one document. Commissioner Diseko chairs the Finance Committee and she did an oversight committee meetings that she sits on and she also attended the plenaries that took place in the month of February. Commissioner Mazibuko participated in the e-hearings with COCTA. Chairperson, I mentioned that late last year we did quite a lot in terms of investigative hearings we did not finish. Those hearings were also taken into consideration during this quarter. So this is a delegule quarter, Susebenzana no Commissioner Mazibuko. We looked at COCTA, we did the Department of Justice Development. Commissioner Mazibuko attended on behalf of the Commission, the Gauteng, in fact, let me say the Department of Basic Education Matric Results, the announcement event. And again, I think we have interest here just to look at gender issues, and in terms of pass rates and matriculation. Commissioner Mazibuko also had meetings with Amnesty International to discuss areas of collaboration. She was at the launch of the forced sterilization. She took media interviews after this. She consolidated the commissioner's handbook, as I indicated earlier, and she attended meetings, oversight meetings and plenaries, including special plenaries to approve the APP and budgets. Commissioner Boda facilitated with Commissioner Busi Dehi at Giani Limpopo, on the CGE land expropriation matter towards developing and inputting into the bill. Commissioner Boda engaged women's access to land and land expropriation. I think they not only facilitated, but they also presented our position as the commission. Commissioner Boda has been attending and facilitating in many men's and boys' fora and dialogues, some in Soweto, together with COPESA, to deal with gender-based violence and looking at how men can become allies in responding to gender-based violence. Commissioner Boda has been looking at the issue of Oliva as well as Adelaide Tambo Foundation for possible partnerships, which is basically targeting men. And I hope this conversation that happened at the beginning of the year is in another level or at another level now. Commissioner Border has been quite key in terms of engaging the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. There was a program called Under the Tree Dialogue, and I think these dialogues and engagements are on a continuous basis. Commissioner Border also attended the Northwest Men's Dialogue, and which was looking at a particular municipality in the Northwest. She also chairs the IT committee and has been attending other oversight committees, strategic plans, as well as trainings. Commissioner Ntulitlobatla attended the gender-based violence awareness session, which was organized by the MEC. And I must say that with Commissioner Ntulitlobatla, she has been straddling between the Eastern Cape as well as the Mpumalanga province. So she's been attending quite a number of MEC interventions in both provinces. And these MEC interventions are actually targeting women and youth. And she's been quite key in terms of presenting this on behalf of CGE in all these forums. Commissioner Ntulitlobatla also has been quite critical in terms of making sure that she also attends the SALGA Women's Commission, as well as the Women's Caucus in these provinces. Commissioner Ntulitlobatla is now the lead commissioner in Mpumalanga, and what she has been doing was to actually secure stakeholder interventions there, especially strategic stakeholders that are looking at government departments. She has been moved away from the Eastern Cape, and she is now securing and making sure that she engages stakeholders in Mpumalanga province, starting from the Office of the Premier and other government departments. Commissioner Ntulitlobatla attended the training on good governance, and she has been critical in inputting into the Commissioner's Handbook, the strategic plan, as well as attending the plenaries and oversight committees. Commissioner Muliko, Deputy Chair, has accompanied the Chairperson to the meeting with the Minister of Health to discuss the sterilization report following the launch. Commissioner Muliko has been providing inputs to the Oxfam South Africa. And I think the report was called Oxfam South Africa Inequality Report. She's been quite critical in terms of making sure that the inputs and the gender lens are applied in this particular report before it was launched. Unfortunately, the launch was postponed due to COVID. Commissioner Muliko has been inputting into the S25 or Section 25 Amendment Bill using the gender lens. I think we got quite a lot of information that was not only looking at gender lens, but it was also looking at economic empowerment of women who are working on the land. Commissioner Muliko has attended the second and the third quarter report presentation at Parliament last on the 3rd of March. She also participated into the report that was looking at SARS, GBV in the workplace, and this will be followed by some kind of research thereof. So she attended the dialogue on the status of women in parliament, attended and made and provided inputs into the provincial seminar, which is the provincial, when I say provincial, I'm referring to the Western Cape, on gender and climate change. And this gender and climate change seminar was hosted by CGE, but I think Commissioner Muliko has been quite critical in terms of making sure that we remain engaged with the Office of the Premier in the Western Cape. She attended the budget speech on behalf of the Commission because she knows numbers better than most of us. She submitted complaints received from other areas to the Office of the Chair, especially the Bishop's teacher's sexual misconduct. I think this one, there are interventions by our legal team, and I think that matter has been brought to close. But I think CGE intervened into this. Commissioner Moleko has been quite key in terms of developing the GBV index concept note, targeting the city of Cape Town. But I think this index will actually assist us as we look and discuss the statistics and engage the Statistics South Africa. And this is also linked to the webinar that we had on Friday that was looking at understanding the statistics through the, you know, the GBV lens. So this work is continuous. She also made follow-ups on the DHET TVET college hearings and looking at our recommendations. So she was deployed to look at that and look at challenges that we are currently meeting or having in terms of bringing the TVET colleges under Section 18 of our recommendations. She attended all our trainings and our committees, including plenaries. I would then go straight to Commissioner Rakolote. Commissioner Rakolote has provided input into the proposals of establishing an institutional team that was going to be dealing with the COVID-19 epidemic. So we also wanted to have our own team that was going to look at how we deal with COVID internally and externally. So she has been quite critical in terms of, you know, providing inputs into these and how we respond and how we develop our own protocols as CGE. Commissioner Rakolote has provided, and I think as in his capacity as the chairperson of the Human Resources and Remuneration Committee, she's been a sounding board in terms of providing technical input and advice on the grievance that was launched by Commissioner Smout against Commissioner Moleko. We also used him to actually give us inputs in the development process and procedures for the recruitment of the CEO. He chairs the committee, the HR committee, and he has actually come up with you know, some proposals into the amendments of several policies internally that we need to actually look at. And she was also critical in terms of looking at the issue of part-time commissioner circular that was going to be dealing with the payment of part-time commissioners. She has attended all our internal committee meetings as well as plenary meetings. Commissioner Sipanya Mokgale has developed the customary marriage concept paper, and this paper basically she developed it during this quarter and the following quarter. She also developed another concept document that was looking at widowhood. So both of these papers that she developed are actually proposing internal campaigns and interventions that should be taken by the Commission and some government departments in Free State in terms of taking the process forward and on how we deal with customary marriage and then how we deal with widowhood. Commissioner Sipanya Mokgale has been a key in terms of working with the team that was looking at the recruitment process of the CEO, but also bringing the legal aspect into the conversation. She has contributed also to the Chapter 9 rules for removal of office bearers. She attended and presented at the higher education event that was organized by the Deputy Minister of Higher Education in the TVET College somewhere in Free State Province. Commissioner Mokgale has attended the Good Governance training and is actually chairing the legal committee meeting. Commissioner Mofokeng has been critical in terms of inputting into the National Strategic Plan for Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Review. The National Strategic Plan on GBV, I think her inputs were in terms of alignment with the CGE thematic areas and what we need to actually be looking at in the next 5-year strategy or 5 years. She also facilitated a panel discussion on the coerced sterilization during the launch. Commissioner Mufokeng also developed a report of the United Nations High Commissions or High Commissioners for Human Rights, and this report was actually going to the 44th session, and it actually looked at intersections of race and gender and discrimination in sports. Commissioner Mofokeng has also developed a document on the Congregational Black Caucus meeting to address issues of access to water justice, equity beyond COVID-19, and all of these issues are actually touching on the provinces that are affected, like the Eastern Cape, the Free State, KwaKwa, as well as Limpopo Province and KwaZulu-Natal. Commissioner Mofokeng has been engaged in the media surveillance before COVID and during COVID, and I'm sure she has been monitoring trends, interventions on SRHR, and as a result of the media surveillance that she's been providing, we have managed to write letters to the MEC Health in the Eastern Cape as well as the Gauteng province, as we were receiving complaints directly and indirectly about what is happening in clinics as well as in hospitals. Commissioner Tlaleng has done research and drafted submissions to the Office of the High Commission for the Human Rights, and she visited the Northwest Teams as a person who is deployed in the Northwest and has actually been engaging the SALGAS, the commissions there, as well as the women's caucuses in this particular province. She is quite key in terms of media interviews and communicating editorial papers that we submit internally. She also attended the trainings, the good governance trainings, the strategic plannings that we are having, including the committee meetings. Commissioner Smout, because she was still there up until end of February, submitted an exit report. This exit report was shared with the portfolio committee. I'm not going to go through the report. I'll go straight to Commissioner Dibila Mutupi. Commissioner Mutupi has had quite a number of meetings in the Free State, one of which was meeting the management of the interstate business people who are responsible for the bus liners there, looking at issues of collaboration and issues of gender-based violence and, in that particular area. She also engaged the Coca-Cola in the province in terms of, you know, how do they tackle and respond, to GBV, to gender-based violence. Commissioner Mutupi has met with SAMU in Free State and has been holding meetings with Butabelo residents. And these residents are a Butabelo Council or committee that is responsible for gender-based violence and have been looking at SAP's work in that particular area or in that particular province. And I'm sure that this work should actually continue during COVID and beyond COVID as we are looking at the state of police stations. She attended the Free State SOPA together with Commissioner Sipanya Mukhale. She has been looking at water crisis from the KwaKwa areas and have been communicating and lobbying departments to look at getting water from the rivers in nearby. I think she has also been looking at issues that are actually looking at a deterioration of awareness and cleanliness in schools, as most of the schools in the Free State province are still using bucket systems in terms of sanitation. I think Commissioner Dibila has been quite critical and key in terms of spearheading these conversations and these campaigns. She has facilitated and observed the stakeholder fora that has been looking at issues of LGBTIQA in the province, disability summits that were hosted by COCTA in the Free State. And she has been engaging in the Premier's office and attended all our trainings, our strategic plans, as well as committee meetings. Commissioner Matebula attended the United Nations Women's Meeting and Policy Dialogue to discuss the Global Compact on the gender equality and women's empowerment. She also attended and made inputs into the UNFPA, a UN Women's Action Plan meeting, and this meeting was basically looking at priorities for UNFPA in terms of developing their own strategy, a five-year strategy in South Africa. Commissioner Matebula met with the South African Law Reform Commission to discuss the CGE report on gender transformation and procurement. And after we have had our hearings last year, there was a need to actually meet and update the South African Law Reform Commission on our findings as well as our recommendations. Ms. Matebula attended the Portfolio Committee to present the third quarter report, second and third quarter reports. She made submission to the Portfolio Committee on the Section 25 Bill on Land, and I think here I was accompanied by the head of legal. So we made this submission, and another submission that was made to the Portfolio Committee on Justice was the submission on the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, number 120 of 1998. Commissioner Matebula met with the Western Cape Premier as well as the General Manager to discuss the submission and recommendations by CGE on their draft strategic plan on gender-based violence and femicide. And this work was followed up by the Deputy Chairperson, who is quite key in terms of making sure that the rollout of the provincial GBV is realized. Commissioner Matebula presented in the sitting session at the 1994 Women's Charter Review, which was in Parliament beginning of the year, and that in, that process is being rolled out to provinces, as I indicated earlier. She met with the KZN Parliamentary Women's Caucus and presented the CGE mandate and work. She also presented at the SALGA Women's Commission and presented our work and our work in municipalities. And that work has now been handed over to the commissioners deployed in KwaZulu-Natal. She engaged with the South African Human Rights Commission on the water crisis and also on the Caster Semenya's discrimination case based on the EAF regulations. And I must say that this kind of work has now been handed over fully to CGE by Human Rights Commission, because they feel that in as much as, but this is violation of a woman's rights. Commissioner Matebula facilitated the process of developing an APP planning draft, and I think we had a 2 to 3 days APP planning session, and there was a draft that was developed and approved by the Portfolio Committee earlier this year. She made inputs into the draft document on the Limpopo consultations done by Commissioner Bota Ndeyi. She also was key in the launch of the forced sterilization report and meeting of the minister thereafter. She has revised all the terms of reference for all committees and facilitated the GG training, as well as the strategic plan training. And she has been quite key in terms of preparing for the audits, our external audits that are currently, and I think they are now in the process of being finalized as of the end of September. And I think CFO will actually be talking to this. But I think from the commission's perspective, all documents that need to be subjected to audits, Commissioner Matebula has been submitting all those documents and has been holding meetings with the teams that are doing the auditing for CGE. And she's been chairing the plenaries, the committees, and has been taking interviews on the media. Chairperson, this is all that I would like us to talk about in, as so far as each commissioner's intervention is concerned. Lastly, Chair, what I would like to support from my side is that in as so far as reasonable accommodation, Chair, for Commissioner Botha and Commissioner Mazibuko, progress has been made. We first started by reviewing the differently abled policy for CGE, and this has been finalized and adopted by the previous plenary that set in July. So we have a final guiding document in terms of how we need to respond to reasonable accommodations. The provision for the reasonable accommodation for both commissioners has been made available with immediate effect, and I must say that as of today, the commissioners do have PAs. One will be based in the Pretoria office for Commissioner Botha, and the other one for Commissioner Mazibuko has been made available. The process of recruiting and appointing the CEO chair has been finalized. We are now waiting on the response on the offer of employment that has just been made. And I think we will keep the chair as well as the portfolio committee in terms of progress. But that process has been put to its finality. I would also like to inform, yes, I think that's all, Chair. Quick updates from our side. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much.
Ms. Otang, Northern Cape.
Chair, I hope that Commissioner Mokgale, Sipanya Mokgale, if she hasn't joined, she was actually doing the last engagement with the documents, and I think as soon as she is done with that process, and she has been engaging the lady in the Northern Cape just to try and get more information on the process, Chair. We will definitely share and let you know as soon as she is done with that, Chairperson. I think we deployed her to do that because she has a legal background and she probably will advise us moving forward, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Commissioner Mokgale.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to clarify that I have been here since the beginning of the meeting. I joined at about 10 past or so. So I was here when the meeting started. Thank you very much, Matebula, for reporting on my late connection. We have had interaction with the Western Cape woman, Mrs. Mutualedi. We are in conversation with her. The last meeting I had with her telephonically was on Saturday, where she had just come back from speaking to the DG of the province, who is based in the Premier's office, and they are organizing a meeting for us for the second week of September. So we will have to go down there with Commissioner Dibiela. It is a travesty of justice to have a situation where somebody was actually trying to highlight and fight a human rights abuse, now that they are left with a bill from the lawyers. And, you know, everybody is running around and saying, we didn't advise in that way, we don't know how it happened, etc. So we may have to come in as CGE. We will have to come in actually as CGE to, number one, negotiate with the lawyers that the debt be cancelled or intervene in other ways. But we cannot have a woman lose her house because she was fighting for a human rights abuse and we're saying, sorry, we there's nothing we can do. There should be something that we can do. I will be including that in my report. And the Premier's office, fortunately, is also eager to intervene because they understand where she was coming from and feel also very strongly that we cannot be seen. They cannot be seen as part of a caring government to have let down one of their members. For the benefit of the members who are not aware of the case, Ms. Mutualedi was a member of NEHAU, and there were very racist and sexist remarks that were allegedly mentioned by a senior staff member, and they laid charges as Nehau, it is still unclear how she ended up having to carry the burden. She is alleging that she was advised that, no, there needs to be a face. We are not sure if she was advised by CGE or she was advised by somebody. So she became that face. And when the matter was lost in court, she is now settled with legal charges and legal fees by the attorney that she has to pay. And now the attorneys are at a stage where they're threatening to take her house. So it is a fairly urgent matter. And we will be attending to it. Second week, once I've conferred with Commissioner DBL about the date that's suitable for her, we will be going down there. They are all waiting for us. And hopefully by the end of September, the matter will have been resolved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Commissioner Mokgale, because in fact, I read that report of Mama
Mutuality.
Yes, I read the report, and apparently the problem is within CGE. Whoever was dealing with the case in CGE was the one who did not advise that woman correctly, because I even called her to get the story exactly what happened, and then she explained to me. But it's fine. What we'll want as the committee that you need to do also is to investigate even your institution, with who was dealing with the case, and how did they advise her? Because I know the whole case of Lomamalo. So we'll await your report, but I also want you to investigate in CGE who was responsible to represent Umama Mutualich Loy was a Northern Cape. Yeah. So because you know sometimes you will find that Nina as commissioner, there are things that are dealt with by your administration staff. And sometimes when they deal with it things, they don't inform you. And then at the end of the day, there comes a report from a client from outside, you know? And then you're not informed. So you need to investigate and get proper facts, and so that you can be able to deal with it. Because also it's going to give your institution a bad name, but you are the one who landed that woman. Would she lose her house? Yeah, because there was something of negligence one way or the other, an irresponsible person who was dealing with this case. So we'll request that Commissioner Mokgale, you move with speed with Ulokunjana, your other colleague, because if Nizo Melana Namate, it's way why so mama her house will be sheriff, it's not right. She's old for her to have experiences upon an alarm, because she has worked for all the years, and then at the end of the day, Yena, she'll find herself not having a shelter, you know, and her kids will be going away. So I think what is important for us is for you to treat this case as agent as possible. Like the manner in which you deal with other cases of gender-based violence. I'm sure even when the chair was presenting, some of the cases you don't report to chair, but we know that in some of the cases you represent women on issues of gender-based violence. So I think it's important also that some of the cases, chairperson, there are cases that I know that she's been dealing with, especially SO2, not that one of that woman, by the yes, even that one, Commissioner Mokgale was attending that case. So I think it's important, Kuti, you know, some of the things that you are doing, it must be reported together with Otto Butler. Some of the things that she is doing, I happen to bump on some of the things that she's doing. That I'm just mentioning these things. Where I see commissioners doing things, I will tell you, Che, because sometimes Mhlambe, you don't write them down, and you'll miss important things that you are doing outside that you didn't report to in local institution. Because most of you are doing a lot of work outside. Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Even with the in relation to issue, Yaba commissioners, Commissioner Mazibuko, I think members of the portfolio committee will be happy to hear there's progress. At least, you know, when you are working like that as a team, that's what we want as a portfolio committee, because working as a team, it makes life very easy for everyone. Because you know, when there's tension and we are not working together, it's, for us, it doesn't help us, you know. And thank you very much even also for the report of Advert Yaga's CEO, and you are looking forward to be for you to introduce the new CEO, whoever she is. And last week, the new CEO was introduced to us from the Department of Women. The new DG was introduced to us by the Department of Women. So, you know, when our institutions are filling a senior post like that, we know which there will be stability in the organization. So that's why we were even saying, even those that... I'm a contract that will be expiring. I'm a senior officials where you need to move with speed and start preparing early. You know, when you start preparing early, there won't be a vacuum. Look now, with the NYDA, they delayed in filling in Ipostiga one other board members, and they ended up not forming a quorum. And this is the second financial year where they couldn't form a quorum and take ama decisions, which the Auditor General has expressed an audit outcome. You know, so it's important for you also that you must just take these things timeously and start preparing so that we cannot find ourselves. Because Nani, if you don't do these things, you put us under pressure. You know, and because now we need to report at the end of the day, if you are not doing it, then it becomes our problem now. So thank you very much for the report that you have given to us today. And I can now hand over to honorable members. If you're okay, I see okay, I don't know whether there are other commissioners who want to add something. I see Honourable Commissioner Tlobatla. Commissioner Tlobatla.
Her is muted. We can't hear her.
Tlobatla, may you please unmute your mic?
Oh, thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. You know, every time you call me Tlobatla and forget the Nduli Tlobatla, I get richer by the day because I'm going to sue. That was on a lighter note, Chair. You know, we thank the chairperson for the commission for a well-presented report. And also the report also indicates that the commissioners there have the capacity, the commitment to deliver as per the mandate of the Commission for Gender Equality. But also in the same process, there are two or three issues that I would love to raise so that at the end of this meeting, I understand clearly something. One of them is the issue that we discussed last, the one about a media platform. I hear the chairperson is mentioning that there is a fair distribution on the issues of allocation on the media platform. Yes, on the side of the staff, I can see which is equitable and is well done, because we do see the provincial managers, we see
the legal aspect on the media, radios and so on. We also see the education officials doing that. But when you observe, you listen to the radios, you watch TVs, honorable members. When it comes to the side of the commissioners, still there is no consistency and fair distribution of the media platform. It's not there. You will always see two officials occupying close to 80% of the media platform, then the 20% remaining will be given to a selected few and at a very minimal basis. Let's come with a solution here. Let us as CGE provide a detailed report. When we say from August 2019 to whatever timeline that we agree on, out of this number of commissioners that we have, as far as the media platform was done, this was the distribution to show that is it a fair and equitable distribution that is being done. That will be done both on TV and on radio interviews. You will see the point that I'm making, that the distribution is totally not fair. On the issues of articles and opinions, seated here, I've been requesting the Office of the Chair and the Office of the Spokesperson that you are saying all the opinions and articles have been published. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. And that will encourage me to further do more work that will empower our communities out there. Provide me with the name of the newspaper where the opinions. There's an opinion on gender-based violence at the institutions of higher learning. There is a very critical opinion.
Sorry, Honorable Commissioner Clovertland Tuli. Chairperson.
Ebo.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm so sorry, man, to interrupt Commissioner Clovertland Tuli. You know, listening to her, I think the what she's reporting now is important, but I don't think it's important to us as the committee now, because we are dealing on the fourth quarter report. I was going to advise maybe that in their meetings as commissioners, it's where she must go and report this thing, because she's complaining about visibility or maybe a fair chance of commissioners being given a time to raise issues, maybe in the media or whatever. But for me, I don't think maybe it's a proper platform now to raise this issue. I'm not sure. Maybe I may be wrong, but I feel it's not the correct one. Thank you, Chair.
You know, maybe let's close it this way. May you please also, Commissioner's Chair and Deputy Chair, look at the issues that she has raised now as commissioners. Go back to your plenary and discuss them so that none of your commissioners can feel like they are not given an opportunity. Because remember, when other people, commissioners, they feel like maybe we are giving other... It's got both of you and the deputy chair, you are dealing with these things. That is, make sure that you, when you go back to your plenaries and make sure that everybody is given a fair chance so that this thing unnecessarily. And even your reports, where you did not cover, go back, cover them in a nice way so that work that is done by all of you is important. That's why I even raised it, to say there are other things that you are doing, and maybe it's not recorded according to the report that the chair was presenting, but it's not a trained mesh. You can still go back and record everything that we have done. And please try and minimize my tensions as much as you can. Please, because all of you are doing great work, commissioners. There are many things that you are doing. As I was saying, all of you are doing great work. And but that work that you are doing, it needs to be recorded in your books. Because if it's not recorded, because all of you saying bona nonke mos nabo deputy chairs yababona abakhuluma, that's why in one of them I even say
we see you.
So
the interpreter.
No, Magatulu interpreter, please. Because bona nonke, you are doing a great work, all of you. So what you need to do is that sometimes, that's why in one of the meetings what I raised is that, are you doing work representing CGE and we are doing it individual? Remember, you are commissioners, Nina. So there is no way where you will divorce yourself not to be a commissioner at one stage. You are commissioners. So each and everything, now we know you as commissioner, and we take it everything that you're doing as a commissioner. That's why, you know, some of these things, you need to clarify them, Nina, in your plenary, so that you know you don't find yourselves, some are dissatisfied, some are satisfied, and some are treated fairly, some are treated unfairly. So, tell us now what you need to be able Nina. Nikhona ukuthi nizilungise kahle, you know, because sifuna ukunibona sisebenza as a team, you know, you are a formidable force when you are working together. You have different skills that are required by other institutions. Angeke nje nisilule into ezincanyana. So mina ngicela ukuthi sivale kanjalo, yabo. And in terms of articles, we requested last time as the portfolio committee, go to chairperson, magastele lama articles, ukuthi asinikezeni lama articles sobone nathi sizokwazi ukuthi senze input and see ukuthi what is it that as a portfolio committee we can push in terms of policy, ukuthi ama departments amanye, because you see each department it deals with ama issues of mainstreaming, issues of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. So some of those articles, then, they are very important for us. You know, it's not about them being there published and we don't do anything. See, now they are going to assist us in terms of law formulation and the policy formulation. And also we'll be able to do our oversight over all these departments. Because there was an article, so how then Tina is the portfolio committee use that publication, you know, effectively in policy and law formation and amending the law legislations and so on. They are important. So it's issues of interest to us. But I'm articles doing. We want to see all your articles, not. We are not treated treat as individuals, treat as a team. So when you publish our articles, if you go a chair and deputy chair, please, nanini inform and impale nunedi so kuti the article liye nunai publish here today, so that we can go run as a popular committee and look at them. I'm sure if we are closing it like that, it will help you. I think the other thing that I wanted to comment on, Chair and Deputy Chair, is your spokesperson. If that's the quality of a spokesperson you have, Aika, and not spokesperson, your spokesperson only talks about we condemn. What message is this sending to the public? You are condemning always. You are not, no, that's poor communication. You know, your institution is dealing with a lot of things, but your spokesperson, yes, I've noticed her several times, which when they interview him, he will say, we condemn, CGE condemns, and I was asking myself, but CGE, you are condemning. Are you reduced now to condemnation of what? I don't understand. Maybe, Nina, you will have to look at that, the statement. When she's that person is getting interviews, what message is he going to send to the public? Because ma condemn manje halo nje thina siyamangalela ukuthi njalo uyakhondema nomuntu but ukuthi institution is going to deal with these matters or is dealing with these matters how look at all the things that we've been discussing now since we started yabo ukuthi you are doing a lot but that person is not able to communicate things that are done by ECGE adequately in the public space. So I think that's one comment that I wanted to make as the chair, because we follow up on things that are done by ECGE. I hope in that order, we can close this matter like that and hand over to honourable members. I see honourable Masiko, I see Umamhlengwa. I don't see other hands. I don't know honourable Mamsonti, honourable Mkwesa, Babu Ngobo, in that order, Yenu. Honourable Mkwesa, honourable Sheriff. Honourable Mkwesa.
Thank you, Chair. Close this one. Sorry. Thank you, Chaperson. Mine is based on forced sterilization for HIV positive women. Greetings to all in the house.
Whoa.
Members, whoa. I'm not well, but just bear with me.
Mamela,
I have just a few questions from the CGE. Has the CGE been able to extend the investigation of forced sterilization of HIV positive women to all provinces? What if any progress has been made in working with the Department of Health since the last briefing by the CGE?
Sorry, Honorable Masondo, I think Nelisa have reminded me Uchi, they still have to present their financial report. Chair, is the CFO in? I thought maybe you have covered everything. Is there any other presentation that you have to make? You are muted, Chair.
Chair?
Ebo?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Yes, we still have two other reports, the progress report by the Secretariat and the finance report, Chair, by the finance manager. They are still to be presented, Chair. But I think on the forced sterilization and the SRHR issues, Chair, there was a request from the Portfolio Committee that we also just update you quickly, and I was hoping that as soon as I finish, Commissioner Tlaleng would come in and just give a very brief update on the forced sterilization update, Chair. Even if it's just less than 5 minutes or less, Chair, before the next report. Please, Chair. Thanks.
Yeah, and I think with the finance report, then your CFO must touch on critical issues that you want to bring to the attention of the Portfolio Committee so that we manage time. Is it okay, Chair? Chair, is it okay?
Yeah, yes, that is fine, Chair. So maybe Dr. Tlaleng can come in very quickly, and then the finance manager will give us highlights and the acting CEO.
Okay, sharp.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Dr. Tlaleng?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the honourable members and to my colleagues at the Commission and any other invited guests. I'm going to do something in 5 minutes that's very, very big, but I suppose a lot of the content may be dealt with in the question and answers. But basically, the Commission for Gender Equality received complaints in 2015 in March.
If maybe you see that that time is very little, can we then say to you, you can come and make a presentation of that report when you are coming to present the first quarter report, if it's okay?
That's okay, Che.
Yeah, so that you want to be satisfied, mustn't it? You give us the full information, ne?
Yes, I think so. Because it's the first time that we are presenting it, I think it would be good to give a good picture on the report as opposed to just highlights.
No, honorable members, that is my proposal. Can I get your views, honorable Masiko, honorable Ngobo? So that you can to the report.
I think it's supported, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Ngobo?
Supported, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mam Sema?
Supported.
Yeah, Mam Stone, you are supported now on it.
Yes, supported, according to our time.
Yeah, that report.
According to our time.
Yeah, Dr. Taleng, thank you very much. That report is very critical for us. We need to get a true understanding of it. And because we can see now and then it's on the media. I think, Chair, you need to tell us when are you going to be ready to present the first quarter report, so that even if it's not the first quarter report, we invite you for that report specifically. It's fine. Okay, we can hand over to the next presenter, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair. Chairperson?
Yebo.
It's Mam Sonti, ne?
Yebo.
Why you don't give us the chance to comment on those reports from the Chairperson before they get to another one?
They must finish presenting the report so that we can be able, Tina, to write our own report. So because they are presenting the fourth quarter report, so they must present it together with their financials. And then after that, we look at and my question is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Over to you, CFO. I don't know whether it's acting CEO or CFO chair. Chairperson? Chair? The next presenter, please.
Good day, Chair.
Oh.
Good day, Honorable Chair. The order that we normally take in presentation would be for the CEO or acting CEO in this case to make presentation about the progress on the APP. Acting CEO, are you available to present the APP? And then mine will just be a supplementary report.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Chief. I will keep it as brief as possible, especially on certain information. The presentation that we're currently focusing on is assessing the activities that were undertaken during the fourth quarter of the financial year. Everybody knows the fourth quarter then also highlights the work and it also indicates the direction that the Commission will take. Yeah. As part of what the committee has asked is to draw a link between the APP, the NDP, and the NPSS policy of 2019. So I'd to highlight the information there. In terms of the capable, ethical, and developmental state, which is then SONA NDP as well as NPSS, you can look at our transformation work that we've done in the public sector, our monitoring reports on SDGs as well as CEDAW. The next one deals with economy and employment, job creation. In terms of that, if we link it to our APC, we have done gender transformation hearings that deal specifically with economic transformation. At our status report on enabling and sustaining women empowerment, our procurement hearings where we looked at transformation in terms of procurement, and our gender mainstreaming program. If we then look at the next one, it relates to education and training and health. The CGE programs that is applicable there is our transformation hearings in terms of CVET and our universities, our outreach advocacy and legal clinics, systemic investigations that deals with forced sterilization, our monitoring reports on property protocol and all the radio programs. In terms of social protection and consolidating the social wage, the CGE programs applicable there is the shelter investigation that we ran, as well as the follow-up investigation in the shelter. Social cohesion and safer community. Our CGE programs relate to our legislative submissions that have been made on legislation that must be amended, our hearings that we hold with SAT, plans handling, our investigations that we do, the meetings with the justice cluster that is held in provincial as well as nationally, and our GBB status. In terms of the overview of the organization, for the period of the financial year, we have reached 90% of our targets. This is if we look in terms of strategic objectives 1 to 3 that deals with service delivery issues. Towards the end of the reporting period, the lockdown was declared and it was imposed. And due to that, one activity couldn't take place. You will see there in the visual table there, one activity in terms of the strategic objective 1 couldn't take place. That will, however, be caught up in the financial year. In the previous reporting period, we also highlighted that some of the targets were behind. However, we have been able to catch up with these, and that relates to submissions on bills. We have made a number of submissions on bills for the whole financial year. We have also engaged Parliament with the Import of Full Prescription Bill, as well as the Recognition of Customary Marriages Bill. And for that, we also would like to thank the opportunity to engage, as that hasn't happened quite often in the past. The next slide just deals with the submissions that's been made by the organization for football. My apologies, for the whole financial year. For the reporting period, we placed spotlights on the forced sterilization and the investigation. As you've indicated, Dr. Kaling will then also come back to make submissions in that regard. So I have to say that we have received several complaints coming forward in this matter, specifically in KZN and Gauteng. There were a lot of complaints that we received. These matters are receiving attention from us, and we are seeing or looking at the best way forward. The impact assessment report, as well as the overview, the outcomes, all of this deals with the forced sterilization report, and I will then defer it to the next sitting for the Mufukeng deal. In terms of our strategic plan, just a quick visualization of what is our strategic objective for September. Just as a reminder, if we look at the progress on performance, start with research, we get the assessment of women's participation and representation in political parties. The report was finalized, and if you just briefly look into some of the recommendations that have been made, CGT and other key role players in the gender sector should formally applaud and continue to encourage the political parties and leadership of institutions such as the National Assembly, National Cabinet, and provincial legislatures, where significant advances were made to advance gender equality and women's political representation. Greater support and encouragement should be provided by civil society, gender activists, and other key role players in the gender sector, not only during elections, but also in between elections, to put pressure on political party leaders to ensure that they are committed to clear and concrete gender targets. This should then also be done, among others, by putting in place the necessary internal policy systems, mechanisms and practices, including adoption of specific and numerical quotas to promote greater women representation. CSOs through the National Gender Machinery should lobby leadership of institutions of government such as the two houses of parliament, provincial legislatures and the provincial, with their respective national and provincial cabinets to adopt full gender equality targets and represent quotas and representation quotas. This would then also see to it that it's not left only to the political parties. Then, hopefully, together with the key stakeholders, CGE should lobby for the amendment of the current electoral legislation. In terms of that, I can also report that in June, the Constitutional Court, the Electoral Act, unconstitutional. Parliament was given 24 months to amend this legislation, and CGE will then also make substantive improvements. Also recommend, in line with the recommendations, that the Electoral Commission Act be amended to give the Independent Electoral Commission the power to monitor and enforce the application of the gender quota. In terms of women's economic empowerment initiatives in South Africa, that was the other report we did. CGE recommended that government's policy on women economic empowerment be clearly articulated through public policy documents of key ministries such as the DTI and the Department of Development. Once clarity has been created through official policy documents, government officials, administrative and political leaders should articulate the popularized and direct engagement. Further recommended that the policy clarification should entail a clear policy definition of what women's empowerment means in terms of policy and practice. CGE further recommended that government economic empowerment initiatives must be accompanied by effective public information dissemination programs and initiatives target specific incentives to beneficiaries, particularly women in disadvantaged rural and urban economic. It is vital that once a loan financing agreement has been signed, and prior to the disbursement of funds, the government department should provide intensive initial training for new entrepreneurs, focusing on basic but critical business management skills, which then will also include putting in place effective information dissemination on the terms and conditions of the loan agreement. This will then also minimize confusion and failure of compliance by the beneficiaries. Once the initial training has been provided and the loan disbursement to the new beneficiaries, we then recommend that ongoing, consistent, sustained and effective support be provided to these loan recipients, especially for the first 2 to 3 years, to significantly improve prospects of success. The other report is the assessing government compliance with CEDAW. The CEDAW project was about assessing the obligations in terms of adhering to and complying with the provisions of the UN Convention. There's been also include compliance with the obligations to report periodically. During the last reporting period in South Africa, which was in 2015, the CEDAW Committee made the resolutions based on the project was set, then proceeded to country compliance with the CEDAW Committee resolutions that relate to the country's previous periodic report. The report contained the analysis and discussions of the findings assessing government compliance with CEDAW and the concluding observations, as well as the recommendations on combating gender-based violence and violence against. In broad, the report do point that while government has made effort to comply with the obligations that emanate from CEDAW, including complying with the concluding observations and recommendations, in most cases, government barely did what was required. Key challenges such as the high rates of gender-based violence and violence against women remain prevalent. The national coordinating mechanism to coordinate national strategies and programs to deal with gender-based violence has not been established, and the government has not created the national strategy to combat gender-based violence. many of the issues identified by the CEDAW committee, such as the harmful traditional practices, for example, Botswana, high rates of femicide, domestic violence, and the lack of adequate funding for women empowerment programs, lack of adequate skills training for law enforcement agencies to deal with violence against women, and all of this remains a concern for CGE. There's a lack of adequate resources for programs on gender-based violence against women, and it continues to undermine the effectiveness of the country's response to GBV against Africa. Then monitoring government initiatives to combat gender-based violence and establishing the National Council of Gender-Based Violence. The responsibility of government in partnering with civil society organizations and other role players to put in place effective mechanisms and programs to combat gender-based violence in general and violence against women in particular remains critically important. The establishment of a national multisectoral coordinating body on GBV to lead the country in combating GBV in general and violence against women is an integral part of their responsibility. In addition, CGE recommends that a clear and formal process is defined for the purpose of enabling the ISC or any other relevant institution or structure with such a mandate to carry out and complete the establishment of the coordinator. It was also recommended that the ISC or any other relevant structure that is assigned the responsibility to oversee the multi-sectoral coordinating body on GBV complies with the principle of multi-stakeholder representation and participation. This body then should also have a clearly defined mandate, not only to give effect to the operations, but also to define its governance and authority structure. The scope of the power and functions, the process of appointing key office bearers, power functions and responsibilities, funding of its activities, so as you can see, more or less, just the administrative part of. And then lastly, it was recommended that once the National Multisectoral Coordinating Body on GBV has been established and is operating, one of the key tasks is to prioritize the National Strategic Plan on GBV by developing and implementing a plan and embarking on a national process of public engagement, consultations with the community, and stakeholders in order to popularize the NSC together with the implementation plan. And Chairperson, if we move to the complaints, the financial period under review, the department opened 428 complaints, and 438 complaints were closed, of which 493 is still pending, which will then be carried over in the new financial year. In terms of the visual display that we have here, Eastern Cape, Limpopo and Gauteng is ranking the highest in terms of complaints and files opened, and Gauteng, Limpopo and Eastern Cape also rank the highest in terms of files closed. In terms of this visualization, this is just the nature of the complaints that has been received. You will note that GBV remains high in the reporting period. This is also just a visual presentation of the complaints received. For the fourth quarter, there has been a total of 109 complaints received, of which GBV still remains very high. If we look at the specifics of complaints, in the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga handled the most cases. Rape, abduction and murder were prevalent offences, especially in the Eastern Cape. Significantly, these crimes are allegedly committed by close family members of the victims. And similarly, in Mpumalanga, we are monitoring a matter where a father is accused of raping his two minor daughters. We are also monitoring a matter where a woman was allegedly killed by her two daughters together with their boyfriends and a neighbor. In Limpopo, the commission then also observed that Nyalpe contributes significantly to the reported gender-based violence matters, that most communities are fearful to report perpetrators who take Nyalpe as such because these community members are afraid of being victimized. In terms of general discriminatory practices, they generally reflect the discriminatory practices in the workplace and then in society in general. There's an increase of complaints of verbal abuse against women employees in the workplace. It is also observed that most complainants do not want to report the matter internally
because they don't have confidence in the internal mechanisms that is put in place. This is especially prevalent in the private sector. Some of the matters, patriarchy is still high up on the ladder. Women are still subjected to discriminatory practices. There's been situations where widows allegedly get fined by tribal authorities for building a wall around their homestead during a mourning period. The treatment only targets women that are in mourning. The complainants also assert that male persons are not subjected to the same treatment, and the complaints largely involve the fines imposed by the indunas during the widows, against the widows for either carrying on with their everyday duties during the mourning period or not wearing mourning attire during the mourning period. They also then contend that and allege that the chairpersons of the House of Traditional Leaders do not really assist in the approach, as they say that they should rather pay the fine for peace sake. If we look at outreach and legal clinics, for quarter four, there's been 15 advocacy, legal and outreach clinics. The year under review, there's been 73 clinics held. If you move to PEI work, in terms of the gender terminology project, we've indicated in the previous quarter that the project aims to mainstream gender equality through gender-sensitive terminology in all the 11 languages. We then work closely with PAMSAL this work as well. In the Eastern Cape, we focused on Isixhosa language, and we have drafted the terminology. We are currently liaising with PAMSAL. The project was a bit deferred due to the lockdown, as it will be necessary to have a warm body meeting to finalize. And then in the Western Cape, we looked at Afrikaans terminology that has been drafted, and we are still busy with the verification and authentication process by PAMSAL. In terms of gender mainstreaming, the Gender Audit Toolkit helped the Commission to identify gender gaps in municipalities and advised then on the steps that need to be taken. And while the assessment process is underway, provinces have nonetheless conducted gender mainstreaming information sharing sessions with key municipal staff. All the provinces have conducted gender mainstreaming sessions, despite the process, provinces unfolding at a relatively slow pace. It should also be noted that training will take place throughout the financial year. In the Western Cape, Free State and Eastern Cape, there's a close working relationship with SALGA Women's Working Groups and the caucus, and this will allow for easier access to mayoral committees and municipal heads. This slide just depicts some of the findings that has been picked up during the gender mainstreaming. Just to highlight a few, the plans and the policies of the municipalities are outdated. Some are in draft form, and there is no evidence of council approval of policies. The GFP and political officers of the municipality is not assisting the municipality because the advice and support of this person is needed in both the internal and external operations of the municipality. There is a lack of gender transformation objectives and performance. Thank you.